Making me feel so welcome, and thank you so very much. And then just your prayers, just I know that you're praying because God is doing a great work there at the jail and using all the volunteers in such powerful ways. We have 24 volunteers that go in on a weekly basis, and just couldn't do it without them because it's a God-sized assignment. Some of you might be new, but the jail continues to grow. We're looking at the fair, and everybody seems to like to come to jail when the fair the fair comes on, especially the East Side Night. Amen. So if you guys want to rock and roll on Friday night, hey, you'll probably see me on Saturday morning. I don't know, but oh, shoot. But God does some of his greatest work in the jail. Because they're finally broken and they're finally open. And anyway, that's what it's about. I just want to thank you, too, for how you've supported us, Patty and I, financially. And so we're just so indebted to you guys. As Paul, the Apostle Paul, would say to all of those who gave to him in prayer and in financial gifts, may God credit to you these blessings that we've received. This place is phenomenal. Aren't you glad that you had leaders that made you step out into deeper water? Because you wouldn't be a part of God's abundance. This place is abundant for Christ. Amen. Boy, if I lived around here, I'd be coming here. So I don't know. If you guys don't get the good word out, they'll keep thinking it's the best kept secret up on the hill, right? Because you gotta talk about the one you love, right? Do you love him? That's the key. If you love him, you'll talk about him. If you love him, you'll live for him. Because it's easy for all of us. It seems that the church in America is great at worship, but are they great at loving him from Monday through Saturday by reflecting him by the way they live? Amen. And so I want to talk to you about really this theme that the Holy Spirit's already given us, going deep in the well and drinking of the Lord and drinking of the Spirit, because I want to talk to you about something that most of you, it's an archaic antique now, believe it or not. You know what it is? It's a phone. It's a phone. Now, some of you young people won't know what this is. This is actually us old people's way of talking for years, decades, centuries, you know, almost. But anyway, guess what? He's calling. But are you answering? Are you answering his call? I want to talk to you about being prompted by God. Because all of us, if you're his servant and if you're his disciple, you'll be easily prompted. He won't have to fight with you to go to where he's at work in someone's life. Because he's at work all the time, John chapter 8. He's always working. The Father is always working, but he wants us to join him. Isn't that a privilege? God wants you to join him in his call on your life. There's a call for intimacy, and then there's a call for service, right? And out of our intimacy comes service, right? I mean, I can talk about Patty all day long because I love her. You see, 49 years next month we've been married. And so I'm just so thankful that she stays with me. Amen. She prays a lot. She said, my ministry is giving you to the jail to let you go in and serve because I'm there quite a bit. There's a lot going on. Could you guys continue to pray for somebody to come alongside me like someone came alongside Pastor Morris? It's just huge. It's a huge thing to carry on the baton, and I need someone to carry it on. I'm getting old. My board thinks I should be out to pasture, you understand? But the point is this horse wants to keep running, amen? So I just pray about that. That's probably one big thing on my heart because You got to have transition and you've got to pass on what God has started. He uniquely prepared me. He's going to uniquely prepare the man that will come in and replace me someday. But anyway, let's have a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Father, we're just so in love with you. We are wanting nothing more than you because nothing else will satisfy. And yet, Lord, there's so many things that fight for our attention and our distractions, that often fight for our hearts because those things want our love and devotion. But Lord, you're the only one worthy of all of our praise and glory and honor that we can extend to you by not just words, but by our actions. And so, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would take this message that you've laid on my heart and help them to understand that you're calling into the deep and into the well of your abundance. Your abundance that comes from the living water that gives us life, that gives us everything we don't have apart from Christ. And that's the world. So, Lord, we want you, and help us, Lord, to be hearers of your word and then doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So he's been calling, but have you been answering? God's promptings are unique. In fact, in the Old Testament, we read about all of this by these verses that are key. Can we read it out loud, please? It says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did." So these verses are so key because God has shown himself, but they didn't respond to his revelation of who he was. In the Old Testament, God spoke to Israel as a nation through his prophets. They were men who were chosen to give what God gave them, to give away what God gave them. Moses was the prominent one, of course, that wrote the first five books of the Bible. But God answers prayers in our lives to build trust because he wants us to trust him with more. Now, we're not talking about a vending machine God that you go up and you choose what you want. We're talking about a God who wants to meet the greatest needs of your life, not the greatest wants of your life. And he, and only he, knows what your needs are. And for Israel, this is so important. For Israel, for 400 years, they were inundated by hundreds of gods. And so they had no idea who Yahweh was any longer. They'd lost their identity as a nation, a God-fearing nation. Now they didn't fear God. They feared not having enough, right? And so the point is that God tested them because he wanted them to trust him in those tests in their lives. So he had them wander for 40 years, not for them to figure out what God wanted, but for them to figure out what God wanted for them, that their hearts be what God could use as a nation. God's doing the same thing in the church of Jesus Christ. He brings us through difficult times of testing, because life is full of testing. Because as a good teacher, Jesus the teacher, master teacher, unless a teacher tests you, you don't know what you've learned, nor does the teacher. So the teacher's testing us through different, deeper waters in our lives, things that are coming at you, things that are coming at me, to help us trust him more and build this intimate relationship. Because as the song sang, right, as the words went, you're the only one I want. You're the only one I need. But do you believe that, see? Or do you look for other ways to fix your test when they come in your life? Well, there's a lot here to learn today because promptings will come. But let me explain something to you. He prompts us to grow us. By the way, I'm a little stunned here this morning because I dropped off the scripture sheet and I don't see anybody having one. Did they get lost, or was it my fault in all of that? But this is helpful. If they're not passed out, could we, ushers, could you get up and do that, please? And I don't mean to make you work, but boy, this spontaneousness is freeing, isn't it? You know, we're not locked in, right? We're not locked in. Shoot, we can even fall on our knees. I just went to a funeral yesterday, and it reminds me of Mercy Me's song. Isn't that a great song? I can only imagine. What will we do when we see his face? Will we fall on our knees, or will we fall on our face? Will we do all of those things, or maybe we'll dance? I'm telling you what, half the time I want to dance. I'm just a dancer, you know what I mean? I go to weddings and I start dancing and everybody says, he's a pastor, look at him. I like to dance. I'm getting prepared for heaven, aren't you? You don't think David, when the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem and he danced, that we won't dance when the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, is there before us, is Jesus Christ himself? I'm going to dance probably after I cry for 10,000 years that I'm even there to dance. Amen. I can't believe his love, that he would love a sinner like me. Jesus doesn't throw anyone away. So many people throw those who have made mistakes away. Have you made mistakes? Can you say amen? Good. You're all students for jail. Amen. They've all made mistakes. They've all made mistakes. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't want them stuck in their mistakes or in their past. He wants to move them on to great things. Great things, because, oh my goodness, what potential they all have. Well, now that you get these sheets here in just a few more minutes, let me give you an update on Patty. She's getting acupuncture for her neck, and she's just so much more energetic. She's much more mobile. She's much more involved outside. She's really doing well. So thank you for praying for my wife with her dystonia. It's called dystonia. It's her neck muscles won't let go, so it's like having a Charlie horse all the time. So there's a lot of pain there. And so she's off of narcotics. She's just doing so well. Praise God. But there's still pain. There's still pain. So thank you for praying for that. So I want to get back into our study here. So fill in the blanks, will you please, with me? The very first one is, how do you respond to God's promptings or urges, you know, like God is prompting you? Like this morning when we were led in worship, a part of the promptings of God was the altar was open. Now, for some of you, you sensed the Holy Spirit and you came, right? I mean, normally people don't kneel at a church before everyone else, but God prompted you, and so that's a great thing. I really believe that God will prompt us to test us to see whether or not we will move for him. We will do what he wants. I'm at the point where if God prompts you and you say no, or you just don't have time, he'll go find somebody else that will do. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anyone else to get what God wants me to do. Because he evidently has a specific reason to use me and to use you. Why would we say no? Well, there's all those distractions. When God speaks, we need to listen and obey. Listen and obey. If there's anything I've gained of 70 years of life, is the best you can do is shut up and listen. Shut up and listen. Do you know I can meet a stranger and in a few minutes he'll share his whole life with me? And the reason is because that person knows I'm listening, not because I'm special. If you listen, people will tell you their whole life. But here's the important part. They'll show you, they'll pull the blind back, and you'll see their heart. That's where you know whether or not God's at work in their lives, by what they start to share. Their desperation, their cry for help, right? And so it's so important that we listen to God and actually learn from that, so that we can learn to do it with others. So often his timing, this is the next blank, is perfect to meet a need in not your life, by the way, in someone else's life. It's God's timing for someone else. It's not about you anymore, amen? It's not about you anymore. In fact, when I didn't know Christ, it was all about Jerry. When I came to Christ, I gave him the blank check that says, here, I'm signing my life over to you. Now, I have to keep doing that, by the way. I got saved in 1972. I keep doing that every day. Amen? This isn't a one-time thing. This is a daily thing. A daily thing. Because I need to be available to him to use me. The problem with Israel isn't that they didn't hear. They kept hearing Moses say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. They wrote it down so they wouldn't forget. Amen? Do you read this? This, by the way, this is a Bible. This is becoming like this. Is it not true? 80% of the Christians, Barna took a poll, 80% don't read their Bibles. And you guys, all of us, we wonder why the Church of Christ is the Titanic. It's going down. You know why? Because of woke, because of the carnal church, because of the apostate church. The gospel has been lost. Jesus made it real simple. Hey, I lived a perfect life. I died on the cross. I was buried in the tomb, but praise God, I came out. That's the gospel. And that's what everybody needs. That's why the jail is such a fertile place. I love the verse that you shared. That's like the verse. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Listen, folks, every believer loves to eat the produce. Amen? Do you guys like sweet corn? Man, woohoo! I got sweet corn this long, Pastor Morris. I mean, it was long about my arm. And it was about as big around, and let me tell you, one cob would fill my soul. I mean, it was a lot of corn. And all I'm trying to say is the gospel needs to go out because the harvest is plentiful like never before. People are really wanting an answer to why it doesn't make sense. Because without Christ, life doesn't make sense. It's no wonder people are committing suicide. Life doesn't make sense without Jesus. It doesn't, because it's hard. And what's built into our DNA is we want it easy. I love what someone just shared recently. God didn't hand out when you came to Christ. I came to Christ in 1972. He didn't hand me a cushion. He handed me a helmet. He said we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And no good soldiers involved in civil affairs. They're more active about what the master wants, the commander wants. Are you? Amen. So here we go. The problem with Israel wasn't that they didn't hear, but they simply didn't listen to his voice. This key verse starts with the voice of the Holy Spirit. We sang about it this morning. It was so beautiful. Sang about the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and speak. Come and talk. Come and do your work in our hearts. If you hear his voice, the warning from the scripture, the Holy Spirit says, do not harden your heart. Let me tell you what, when I'm reading the word every day, I have two responses to this word. Yes, Lord, or no way. I either obey it or I deny it. I either get hard or I get soft. Every day. Because life is built on one decision after another. And so the Holy Spirit says, don't harden your heart when you hear the Holy Spirit speak. It's interesting that obedience to God's voice is a heart problem, not a sin problem. We get distracted even by that. We think, well, I've got all this going on in my life. That's why in the jail, our focus is on Jesus and not their sin. I don't care what they did. I just care where they're going. Amen. And so the point is it's a heart problem. We don't love God. You see, actually, it's a love problem. If we love him, Jesus will obey him. Now, I don't know about you, but let me just say this. Love is hard. Love is hard. It's hard to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let me tell you, it's a mystery to me. God wants that of me. Do you know that if I give him that, he's got all the rest? That's why he said the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know you won't love others until you love God, really? You'll be so infatuated with you that's where you'll fight the fight. God wants you just to simply love him. And I think, quite frankly, we should probably start with just saying that to Jesus. Jesus, help me to love you. Help me to love you. Because, see, it's easy to say that we love God. It's only by what we do that shows that we love God. Amen? I have people all the time that tell me that. You know, I meet them for the first time. I just want you to know, Chaplain, I love God. I've always known God. We've got two problems. Why are you here? Second problem is, if you love him, I ask him, do you ever read your Bible? Oh, I did. Do you ever go to church? Because we need the fellowship of the saints. Amen? Amen. I can't do this without your cheering me on. And quite frankly, that's all I am in a skirt. You don't see it, but I just got a big cheerleading skirt here. I'm going rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. Jesus, go Jesus. In you and in me. Just go Jesus. The point is that oftentimes they'll tell me those things and I'll say, well, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Well, that just was for a short time. Now I'm here. Well, I think God's rescued you because evidently he sees something in your heart that he wants to burst with life. It's called Christ. Had a guy just the other day. It was incredible. I'd come into this unit and started talking to people that had signed up for me to talk to. And then this guy sort of wandered over by me. He said, could I please talk to you? And I said, sure. This was so precious. And he goes, I just want to know about the Bible. I said, okay, what do you want to know about the Bible? And he said, well, where do I start? I said, well, have you ever read the Bible? No, I've never read the Bible. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? No, I don't know that I've ever heard the Lord's Prayer. I was so excited. Man, my insides were bursting. Here's why. If this guy was religious, there's hardly anywhere to go. He's duped. I've got the religious package, so I'm ready to go. Religion don't work. It's about a relationship. So I asked him a real quick question. I said, have you ever loved someone like a girlfriend? Yeah. I said, well, has she ever left you a note? Yeah. I said, well, when my wife leaves me a note, I read it about 1,000 times because I love to hear what she's thinking about me, especially at the end. I love you, Jerry. Oh. So the point is, I said, the Bible is simply God's love letter to you and I. I don't know about you, but this love letter is better than the love letter my wife leaves me because he tells me he loves me and he tells me he has purpose for me and he even equips me to do what he wants to do in me. And I said, but it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever come into a relationship? Well, I already knew the answer. Have you ever come into a relationship with Jesus Christ? No. I said, well, how about today if we do? He said, that sounds so good. And so I led him in a prayer to receive Christ. And oh my goodness, he came alive. Now the Bible can really speak to him because without knowing the author, you don't know the word. You don't know the letter. It's a mystery. And so the point is, God is drawing people. He's prompting people to respond to his love. And so either when you read the Bible, your heart becomes soft or your heart becomes hard. By the way, everyone, that's not based on time in. Like for 51 years of knowing Christ, so my heart's guaranteed soft. Mm-mm-mm. It's moment by moment, day by day. Amen? Because there isn't any one of us in this room that could go off into sin by choosing to distance ourselves from him. Amen? And it's so subtle, and it's so like, I didn't know. Oh yeah, you drifted from me. So how do we make sure that we hear God's promptings and that we best not ignore them when they come? Because I'm under the feeling that God will... Jerry, I got an assignment for you. See, Rick Warren, some of you might not understand that Rick has like sort of went down a toilet, but before when he wrote Purpose Driven Life, tremendous book in my opinion, and he said life is a test, life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. And I think that summarizes life. And the point of the matter is he's going to test us to use us. Amen? He's going to say, are you ready? I'm calling. And then he's going to give us an assignment. And then are you willing? And it comes right back to what brother said here. Are you willing to get out into the deep? Meaning, are you willing to walk by faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right? You just can't please him without faith because he loves trust. He loves trust. He just loves us to, okay, I'll go out in that water. I think a lot of us could go to the hospitals and see people that are sick instead of just the pastors and pray with them. That's deep water. I think we could go to our neighbors and say, hey, I just feel like I need to get to know you a little bit better. Here's some cookies. Hey, how's it been going? Is there anything I can pray for you for? That's deep water. At work, when you go to the coffee pot, don't just talk about how you have indigestion from the night before, but talk about, hey, what's going on in your life? I've noticed recently that you were burdened about something. I've noticed that you maybe have been angry. What's going on? Can I just pray for you about these things? That's deep water. Does that make sense? Calling someone that God prompts you to, that's struggling in the church. When you come here, do you look for people that are struggling sheep? Or do you just look for the ones that are happy and hug your neck? And when they tell you their heart, pray for them right there. Don't say, I'll pray for you. You'll forget. Pray for them right there. That's deep water. When you're praying in your prayer closet and God lays someone on your heart, whether to forgive them or whether to minister to them or whether to send up a prayer to maybe protect them that you don't even understand why he's laid them on your heart. See, those are all promptings to go into deeper water. Amen? And let me just share this. And I know that you're good at loving Pastor Morris and his wonderful wife, but have you ever sent them a note? Just say, hey, transition's hard, but we're so proud of the way you're finishing for us. You know, there's a lot of people that start well but don't finish well. Pastor Morris is. Amen? Yes. That's an encouragement to me because that's a boat that's not sinking, but sailing through life to the end. Amen. So those are the things that get you into deep water. So first, God of the Holy Spirit is talking to us. He's talking. John 14:26. Flip over and let's read that real quick together. It says, my Father, are you there? Jesus replied, let's start there. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now this is the verse, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. See, these are promptings from the Holy Spirit. Do you know, I'm not carrying my Bible around with me 24 hours a day to share Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me sharing Christ because I have the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to share with them, right? I have my extra tires when my other tires go low. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's where we share from. We share from the resources of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So what you fuel the Holy Spirit with becomes the fire that goes forth and burns up people. Amen. That's a good kind of burn, by the way. You Eastsiders are ready for heat, aren't you? And I know it. See, as believers or sheep, we hear his voice. In fact, that's what John 10:3 says. Look at that real quick. It says the watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Look at the verse 8:47. This is a stunning verse. He who belongs to God hears what God says, and the reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. You know what this is talking about? The love letter from God. See, if you don't know him, you can't hear him. Amen. All you can hear is you're convicted of sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job, right? Convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? I mean, that's what happened to me when I was lost. I got convicted. And so that's what God is doing. God speaks through the Holy Spirit in four ways. I want you to write these down because these are super important. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. He speaks through prayer. While I'm praying, I'm listening. Because it could be that what I'm praying about isn't necessarily what God is about for me that day. In other words, it's a brief prompting of an assignment, or it's a brief prompting of a prayer that needs to be offered up for someone that I know that, or God knows that he's laying on my heart. Does that make sense? But I got to listen. I got to listen while I'm praying. And so the point is that he speaks through his word. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through circumstances. Circumstances. Heidi, a year ago, or however long it was prompted to talk to me. It works through circumstance. I was here, she was here, and we talked, and boom, here she is, a volunteer. Do you see what I'm saying? God's working in circumstances. And then, last of all, he works through you, the body of Christ. Do you know, while I'm doing Bible studies at the jail, I'm listening for God to speak through them, an inmate? Absolutely. Those that know Christ are in the body of Christ, right? They're in the church, universal. And so I'm listening for what they might have learned that God wants me to learn. Make sense? So I'm always wanting to learn from the body what I might need. I was going through our atrium years ago at our church, and I saw a guy I hadn't seen for a long time. He'd lost a ton of weight. I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I just started drinking water instead of caffeine." And as soon as he said that, and he said a lot more other things, but this is my point. He said caffeine, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "That's your God." Because I was drinking like two liters of pop a day. I'm an excessive compulsive. I'm sorry. I should have been the best drug addict in the world. The point is that the Holy Spirit only had to say from what he said, "That's your idol, pop, or caffeine." And on that way home that night from church, I laid that before the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't want anything before you. And so I'm giving it to you." I quit drinking coffee and pop and caffeines because I didn't want an idol. Can I have a pop? Yes, I'm free. Amen. But it's no longer a God in my life. Amen. And we can pick up God's quick, can we not? See, God made us to have this intimate relationship with him because he is God. And there's none like him. So anytime we substitute something for him, that's a God. Amen. And so if you hear, that's the question. And I want you to circle if you hear, because it's sort of conditional. Do you see? It's not a guarantee that you'll hear. I really believe that as he speaks to us, the more we respond to him, the more he'll speak to us. Does that make sense? I think so. It's sort of like a boss that says, "Jerry, I want you to go and do this. If I go do it and I come back, he'll probably tell me, Jerry, I'd like you to do this, and I'd like you to do that. But if I say, oh, sure, but you don't go or you don't do it, do you think he'll keep calling on you? I wouldn't. I'd use the tires that are running on the road. Amen. But here's the thing. He'll give you second and third chances, but don't harden your heart. Amen. Don't harden your heart. So it's conditional. Here's the issues. If you're God's children, first of all, you got to be God's children. I love these verses, John 1, 12 and 13. He came to his own received him not, but to them who receive him, to them who believe, they become the children of God. Do you understand it's twofold in Christ? Believe and receive. Amen? Believe and receive. So many people tell me, I believe in God, I believe in God. Again, this is all thunder before the storm, right? Because it's more. I usually quote, the devil believes and trembles. Hey, do you know where he's going? So we have to receive it because it's a gift, is it not? What a gift God has given us, his son. Wow. And then the next one is if we're abiding in that relationship. In other words, we want that more than anything, right? Do you know how many marriages would have been saved if they really wanted their marriage more than anything? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really am committed to my marriage. I want it to work. But most people just sort of pitch. I'm done. Listen, love is hard. And it's in this context of love that John, the apostle who loved Jesus, is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's one verse. But this verse is let's read it together so you don't keep looking at me like, I don't know what you're saying. John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. You guys are awfully quiet on these verses. You're supposed to share them with me. But you're in awe of Jesus, aren't you? So, number three, if we obey him and not rebel. In my Christian life of 51 years, I'd say that for the first 20 almost, it was a mule with what's it called? A mouth with a halter. Bridle, thank you. I need a lot of help. But the mule and bridle relationship with God, I was stubborn. I was self-willed. I thought I had Jesus, but I could do it alone. I couldn't. But he was so gracious to me, and often he would say, I want you to do this, and it was like, okay, and he'd pull me over there. And you know, after a while, I became more complicit and more compliant. And that's very important, to humble ourselves before the Lord, amen? And to do what he asks. Why? Because he loves me. And so I got to the place in my life where he would speak and I would do, but often I would blow it and sin, and then I was ready for the spanking again because he loves me, right? My parents did that. They spanked me a lot. I was destined for jail as an infant. I probably fought them over putting my diapers on. They didn't do it right. I don't know, but the point is God wants me to be pliable. So when I sin, I would say to God, okay, spank me. I know I did it wrong. And then he said, I don't have to spank you. You're so sensitive to my voice that's enough for you to be grieved in your heart over what you've done. That's where he wants us all to be, amen? He doesn't want us to be playing with sin. He doesn't want us to rebel. He doesn't want us to do our own thing thinking it's okay. It's not. And then fourthly, if we've yielded or if we're humble of heart, that's what it all becomes, yieldedness to the Holy Spirit and humility before him. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Do you know when I'm in the jail and I'm seeing inmates, most of them are having a very difficult time. They're very crushed in their lives. They're at the end of all of their effort. And that's where God wants them. But do you know that I have learned while being in the jail that I'm as desperate or more desperate than them? That's my mindset. And so we have to be all so careful to where is our hearts? Are they broken? Jesus said that in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who are broken, who mourn. He's basically saying, don't like sin at all. Hate it, because it will rob you of joy. So number three, during the time of testing, this isn't talking about temptation. This is talking about being tested. A good teacher tests their students to find out what you know. Amen? So that's what you can say to Jesus. Oh, you just want to find out what I know. I don't know if I know. Deep water again. Amen. God will test us to determine our growth. I don't know about you, but 51 years doesn't mean I'm at the end of the road. I'm still growing. I still want to change. I don't want to stay the same. Does that make sense? I want to get rid of childish behavior, and I want to grow up and be a man. I don't know about you, but most of us as men, I'm perplexed by what that is, because I don't know that we know what it is for sure. I know this, a man is a man if he's like Christ. Amen. That's all I know. And the more we're like Christ, the more of a man we are. But he wants to test us to determine our growth. He will test us. You want to write this down. He'll test us to make us something that we're not. Amen? Because he'll want us to grow. And I don't know about you, but I'm watching the corn grow as I walk in the mornings. And it started as a seed. Now it's like way up high. And it's got kernels on it already. You understand? It's got ears. And the point of the matter is that it grew. It didn't stay in the ground. We need to grow. Christian, we need to grow. We need to be different people than we were a year ago. And I'm talking about character development, right? And so it's so important. Number two, God wants less of me and more of him. That's it. Not just on Sundays as we sing about it, but throughout the week. We put others before ourselves. That's what Paul said. I think more highly of others than myself. I put you before me. I serve you. I serve you because I love him. And now I love you. Does that not make sense? It's so important that there's less of me, John the Baptist, that I might decrease, that he might increase. That's just a simple word, but he got his head chopped off. Do you understand what I'm saying? Again, Jesus didn't give us cushions, but a helmet to fight a war. And if we don't get in this war, Christian, we're going to be in prison and jail because they are going to take away everything from us. And they're starting. You got to be aware. And we got to stand not for just righteousness. We got to stand for the character of Christ. Amen? And then last of all, God tests the heart to see our motives. Man, I'll tell you what, guys. Sometimes my motives are not good. How about yours? I'm working you to get what I want. That was built into my DNA as a kid. Amen? Instead of being sincere about your best interest and not just mine, right? It's so important that we check out our motives. Look at 1 Thessalonians real quick there at the bottom. Second one up the top. It says, read it with me. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. Oh my goodness. Is your motives wrong? God can't use that. In closing, I want to share this testimony with you of this story that I got out of the Daily Bread that is so phenomenal. It fits perfect. Listen to this. It's called Big Hearted Giving. After school Bible club, where my wife Sue serves once a week, the kids were asked to donate money to help children in the war-torn country of the Ukraine. Listen real carefully, guys. About a week after Sue had told our 11-year-old granddaughter Maggie about the project, we got an envelope in the mail from her. Now, how old is she? 11 years old. Listen. It contained $3.45 along with this note. This is all I have for the kids of the Ukraine. I'll send more. How precious is that? Do you get it? How precious is that? We can learn a lot as we think of this small gift from a huge heart, right? It mirrors some instructions about giving provided in 2 Corinthians 9. Here's the thing. Sue didn't suggest to Maggie that she should give anything or help. She was just sharing this burden. He called Maggie, didn't he? See the difference? She heard a burden, but he called. Right? And Maggie answered the phone. Yes, Jesus. Okay, I will. She searched and she found all that she had, $3.45, put it in an envelope with a note, and said, I'll send more when I can. That's what we're talking about in a nutshell. The Spirit of God prompted her, and Maggie responded. Who loves Jesus? You see, Maggie didn't have to say to her grandparents, I love Jesus. Good night. They opened the letter and it oozed out of the envelope. Maggie loves Jesus, doesn't she? Because she answered the call. Now, she could have ignored that prompting because she was 11 years old. Age doesn't mean a thing. More things are done by children than I think adults, amen? Because they pray. They pray sincere heart prayers. Probably because they hear Jesus speak. See, we're too busy as adults. We have too much distraction. Maggie, who loves Jesus, seeks to live for him and responded. You see, this whole message has to do with what do you seek? Do you seek to live for Jesus or me? Or me? Jesus or me? We sang it this morning. I love that song. I wish I could come here every Sunday. You guys sing songs that are awesome. Man, our church needs some help. Amen. I mean, you guys sing some great songs. But Jesus is all we need. Can we say that? Jesus is all we need. But do you live it that way? Because when he calls, do you respond? Because these are tests of our heart to see whether or not we love him. I don't know. There isn't anything more important than when he raptures us that he'll know that we love him because we've been prepared for that day. Amen. You can't wait till he comes and takes you away. You've got to be prepared for that day. Amen. prepare. Let God use you guys this week and you'll be so excited about being in the deep water. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your calls in our life. Thank you for your testings because you want us to do it right. Thank you that you love us and you don't want us to go and hide. You don't want us to be those creatures filled with fear and fright. You want us to be your children filled with faith and boldness because we already have won the battle because of you. And Lord, you've given us all that we need in giftings and in abilities to do what you've called us to do. Now, God, please help us to respond because you love us and because we want to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for having me.
Amen. Let's give a hand. What a poignant word there. I got to tell you, I think that, we miss a lot of opportunities.
Oh boy, I know.
To hear Jesus' voice, don't we? When he wants us to move out, to step out. And, I think about Peter. We were talking about the deep water, right? Jesus said, come, step out. What if Peter never stepped off the boat? And Pastor Jerry, I appreciate that. I do. That was a point in word. We need to hear that. We can't be just satisfied sitting in the boat any longer. We got to be listening to the prompting and jump out of the boat. So, well, I'm going to ask our ushers because we want to be supportive of ministry, don't we? And it's your chance to sow in. Aaron asked me, hey, how do you want to do this? I said, you know what? I have faith in our people. I have faith that they want to pour into the ministry. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And you know, Jerry, you know, there's people all over this building that have been affected by Jerry's ministry in Polk County. But I can tell you my own personal experience, and that's with my wife. My wife has spent a lot of time in the jail, so I've been personally affected by that. I'm not. You know, in all seriousness, you know, when she heeded that call, I thought she was crazy. And you know, I was apprehensive the first time, Jerry, that I drove her there myself. And I sat outside and I thought, God help the person who speaks even crossly to her. Looks at, and now she's like telling me, yeah, I was walking down the other day and like the riot unit's walking down there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. But, you know, it's not just the people inside that are being affected. It's the people on the outside. I have seen a change in her. The passion that she brings to that ministry, the desire to serve in any way that she can, the stories that she comes back with. And I got to tell you, she's my hero. I wish I was that brave sometimes. And the opportunities, the prompting that God put in her, I will tell you, has enriched her life. And made her a better person, a better wife, a better mom, a better friend, because she listened in that moment. So, you know, today we're going to take a chance to sow into to Jerry's ministry, to the Polk County ministry. Some of you have already do that, but I want to challenge you today. I've got my envelope right up here with Heidi. I'm going to challenge you today to give your best gift. To sow into the ministry. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit as we go out there and we look for the lost. Right? This is another way to go out and look for the lost. Not all of us can go into the jails. Well, Jerry might let a lot of us, but not all of us are going to make it in there, right? Not all of our work schedules allow, not all of those things have, but this is a way we can go out. We can sow in. So I actually was going to ask my wife to pray over this offering. Because she didn't want to come up here with me. Because we think only of the inmates that are affected, the folks who visit. I'm telling you, there's more lives changed than just those that are residents. So I'm going to ask her to pray over this offering.
Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity today to learn more about you, to go and grow and go deeper with you, Father. So, Father, as we bless this ministry, Father, we ask that you also grow what we give so that Jerry can go into that jail and do all of the things that he needs to meet the needs of those inmates, Father. As we go out today, Father, I pray that our lives would reflect you and all that you're doing with us, Father, that we'd be excited to share everything that we have about you with everyone that we see, Father. Help us to love you by loving all of your children. So, Father, as we sow this gift, we ask that you would grow it and it would go to exactly what is needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.